Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and our object these days is to go through the Bible. We're going through the scriptures, and we've ended up in Leviticus, chapter 11, about verse 38. So if you want to open your e-sword there, that's where we're going to pick up. And last time, in context there, we're smack in the middle of the rules of the dietary law, what is clean and what is unclean according to the law. Practically speaking, what is fit for human consumption and what is not fit for human consumption. Apparently, man can eat a lot of things that are not fit for consumption, or perhaps the word consumption there. Could almost be a pun, because many of the things that people eat consume them. But I believe that it's wise to apply these principles, these dietary principles that our Heavenly Father has given to us in His law, in His word, for our own health, for our own sake, for our own life, just so that we can live a life that is peaceful and free from pain and unnecessary suffering. There is so much suffering that is diet-related, that it comes from people doing things to themselves that are not good for them. Our Heavenly Father, He made us, He created us, and He also created the food for us to eat. So when you get any food that is overly processed, number one, you should realize that when man starts messing with it, that it's going to start messing with man. So when we consume something that has been prepared perhaps way beyond necessity, that it may cause us trouble, and we see that as a reality. Last time we jumped forward into Acts, and specifically speaking, Acts 15, chapter 15, verse 28, and it says here, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood." Now those two point back to the law and point back to the dietary law and the law of Moses, and it also goes, and from things strangled and from fornication. So the first three items are pretty much the same thing, pointing back to the dietary rules and abstaining from idolatry, and then says from fornication, so that would be a sexual immorality. And the word fornication is fairly all-encompassing there, so any sexual immorality. And the apostles who are writing to the Gentile church, the churches, the believers that are coming to the faith in the other nations, they're writing this letter, and this letter is being recorded. The circumstance of this letter is being recorded in Acts. Because this is not the letter itself, but this is a record or a letter about the letter, and we have some insight as to what is in the letter, and that's what we get here, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. And of course, the great controversy then was there were some coming in, some Pharisaical type persons coming in. Our good friend Henry calls them Judaizers, but they were coming in teaching them that they must be circumcised. So the apostles write to the Gentile believers, these men, grown men, boys, teenagers, whatever their age, coming to the faith, telling them it is not necessary that you be circumcised. This is not a necessary thing because it's not listed. But they do come with an opposing list of things which are necessary. Now, it is fairly universally accepted by all believers, whether corporate church believers or whether those of the ecclesia from all time, the remnant believers today that are part of His ecclesia, and also those of of some of the faiths out there that may or may not be a part of the ecclesia, but they are part of a corporate visible church. And what I say is universally accepted is that we should refrain from sexual immorality or fornication. It's fairly universally accepted, though we see a lot more coming in today that are even throwing that out by accepting homosexuality, because homosexuality is a form of sexual immorality, and if it is accepted, then it is fornication, and it's throwing off one of these necessary things. Now, I was reading through Henry's commentary, and Henry tries to make a distinction here between meat offered to idols, blood from things strangled, from fornication, between fornication and those things. Though in the verse, and I just read it again to you, and I will read it again and see if you can find the distinction in the scripture itself. I think you'll find that it is missing. And if you're looking for that, again, I'll give you the reference here is Acts chapter 15 and verse 29. So you can punch that into your e-sword and you can join me right on the right page here. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves you shall do well, fare you well. I can find no distinction between any in this list here other than they are distinct and separate from each other as part of a list. So it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So basically the point is that they are not to embrace circumcision, that it's not a necessary thing. However, there's no law against circumcision. That would get down to, like I said last time, that would be a choice for that family to make, whether their child is going to be circumcised on the eighth day or whatever day. It's not necessary. That's the point. And he goes on, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. I can find no distinction, as my good friend Henry here writes in his commentary. He sees a distinction there, and I believe perhaps because he wants to see a distinction there, that he believes, and it's very common for people to embrace the idea that there is a different law for the Gentiles and for the Jews. And I don't believe that that is the truth. I believe that the law is still the law. Now, the circumcision, that was given as part of a covenant to Abraham and to his seed for the promise. Somehow it's not necessary for the believers of the other nations to be circumcised. And that is plain in the scripture. But here they refer to, by refraining from meats offered to idols, okay, so to refrain from idolatry or even the appearance of idolatry, okay, from blood and from things strangled. That refers to nothing but the dietary commandments. And then from fornication, which is sexual immorality. And, of course, the word fornication is so broad that they can do nothing but go back to the law to see what fornication is and what that word encompasses. And our other reference, and I'm just going over these briefly this morning for anyone who may have missed or to refresh your memory, our next reference was, okay, let me see, that was 1 Timothy 4:5. So if you want to go there, 1 Timothy 4:5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's what it says. So what is, if something is sanctified by the word of God? Let's say an animal is sanctified by the word of God, because that would be the context here, though most people tend to gloss over the part where it says by the word of God. They like the and prayer part, and specifically it's talking about food here and meat. So if something is sanctified by the word of God, does that mean I took a scroll or a Bible and whapped the animal upside the head and said some fancy words? you know, Onodonimus Mononus, and whap, hit the animal upside the head. Now, that's pretty silly, isn't it, to say that that's how you sanctify something by the word of God. Well, we sanctify nothing by the word of God. It says, for it is sanctified by the word of God. Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, they had the Old Testament. They did not have the New Testament. There are no dietary rules in the New Testament, except for the brief summary that we read in Acts there, which pointed back to the law, back to the dietary law of the Old Testament. So, and they didn't have that then. All they had was the Old Testament. And being Gentiles or the other nations, they probably had the Septuagint, which had been translated, the Old Testament translated into Greek, was called the Septuagint, and had been for almost up to 300 years. They had the Greek Septuagint. So if something is sanctified by the word of God, that word sanctified means set apart or made holy. So you have to say, what food was set apart by the word of God? We don't set it apart by the word of God. It is sanctified by the word. So we have to go read the word and find out what was sanctified, what it is that is sanctified by the word of God. And to jump back here, two verses, to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So how do we believe and know the truth? We look at the word and we see what is sanctified by the word of God. And then, of course, to be received with thanksgiving, and I'm referring back to verse 3 in chapter 4 of Timothy, which is two verses before that, to be received with thanksgiving. See, that's repeated two verses later by the and prayer part. So the and prayer is the thanksgiving part. And the sanctified by the word of God is synonymous or synchronous with being received of them which believe and know the truth. So now, am I rightly dividing the word of God here? I believe I am. And this is what we need to do. This was not rightly divided to me in the past. What they told me was it was sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So if we pray over it, it becomes holy, and we can eat anything we want. In other words, what they're saying is that Jesus died to sanctify pork and other unclean things. That's abominable. That may be an extreme illustration, but it's fairly factual. So they did not rightly divide the word. They just skipped over, glossed over what was uncomfortable, the sanctified by the word of God part, and they could just cross that out, white out, is sanctified by prayer, and leave out the word of God part. And that's basically what they've taught in the corporate church, and it seems even our good friend Henry embraced that. You can see how an idea is embraced, and it affects our way of thinking, and it affects our way of reading and comprehending, because I've read the scripture over and over and only comprehended what I was taught. I comprehended what was comfortable and what was accepted. But I've learned to rightly divide the word of God. I've decided that everything I've learned before is suspect. Whether true or not, I'm not making a judgment, but I need to make a judgment. I need to really rightly divide the word of God and question everything I've ever learned so that I can know the truth. Because if something's bad for my health, if even the only consequence of this deception or misunderstanding, however you want to put it, if even the only consequence is suffering in my flesh and having to undergo operations and suffer the later years of my life in pain, then it seems that I would like to write that, because I want as little suffering in my life as possible. I don't want to live the last many years of my life subject to the medical industry, to pharmakia, because that's where you have to turn when you're disobedient to his law. Because you go to that image, you know, the image of pharmakia, the drugs and the doctors, and who make a great living off of your disobedience to the word of God. And certainly people can suffer things without disobedience. And there's enough suffering going on without disobedience. I guess that should be the real point. Is there not enough suffering without disobedience, that we have to embrace a disobedience, that we have to justify disobedience, that we have to ignore the truth, like ignoring, you know, four words here in this verse, the word of God, and just skip that part and say it's sanctified by prayer. We prayed over it, it's good. The pork is now sanctified. We prayed over it, you know, and we can eat anything we want because we prayed over it. That's not what the scripture says. And this is the verse where they get that idea from, where they teach that from, because this is where they taught me that from. So if we pray over it, it's good. So you got to say grace every meal and say the words over the food and all that. But they skip the part where it's sanctified by the word of God. So let's jump back into Leviticus. Go back to our text here. And we're in Leviticus. We left off at chapter 11. And around verse 38, so let's, I'm going to jump back a few verses here. Let's go back to chapter 11 and verse 34, and it says, "Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which water cometh shall be unclean." Okay, and that's the water. If you wash your meat with water, you're not to drink the water. "And all drink that may be drunk in every vessel shall be unclean." So if you have raw meat, whether it's clean or unclean, and water comes on it, you're not, or any kind of drink, you're not to drink that drink because of the, well, we know now, the microorganisms. You see how advanced the law of our Heavenly Father was, that before they had a microscope, before they could see a microorganism, of course, the creator of the universe, since he created the microorganisms, and he knows everything that there is to know, he gave them the law for cleanliness. "And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean." And that's why we clean off our counters, we wash out our sink, we scour our pots and our pans, and our knives and our boards. Like, I have one board for vegetables, and then I have a board made out of poly or plastic for meat. And I'll bleach the one that's made out of a white, it's a white, like, 5/8 inch plastic board that's 1 foot by 2 foot or something like that, that I use to cut up raw meat on. And I can bleach that board. I'll put it in my sink and I'll pour bleach on that sucker. You know? And this is the law. This is what the law in Leviticus was telling them to do, to clean, to make a distinction. And then I have my wooden board made out of oak. I made it myself. I've made cabinets and take the scraps and you know, clamp them together with glue and sand it down and make myself a real nice cutting board on which I use for bread and for vegetables and things like that. And I don't use meat on that board. So I make a clear distinction between those two, between where I put raw meat and where I put food. So this is what the law is about, the law of cleanliness here in your kitchen and when you're preparing your food, making the distinction between the raw meat and the vegetables and so forth. "And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean." So you don't have to throw out your seed if a dead animal falls on it. "But if any water be put upon the seed," and so if you have water and a dead animal, then it's unclean. You're to throw it out. "And if any beast of which you may eat die, he that toucheth the carcass thereof shall be unclean until even." So if a beast dies of itself and you touch it, you know, as I was explaining, I have animals out here. And occasionally one of the animals will die, a chicken or something will die. I'll go out with my pitchfork and pick it up and dig a hole with the shovel and bury it. I won't touch it at all because that's pretty much what the law calls for. And I just don't want to touch the unclean thing. It's common sense, or it should be common sense. "He that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. Also, he also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even." So you're to wash your clothes, you're to wash yourself, and you're supposed to stay away from other people because you may have those microorganisms on you and you need time to shed them or whatever. So, "And every creeping thing that is upon the earth shall be an abomination it shall not be eaten. So we're talking about lizards and snakes and perhaps mice, yes, creeping things, and, you know, all kinds of rodents. And whatsoever goes upon the belly, that would definitely be a snake. And whatsoever goes upon all four, or whatsoever has more feet than all, more feet among all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. So, you know, who wants to eat a centipede or something like that? They give me the creeps anyway. It's fitting that they're called creeping things because they are creepy. Don't want to touch them myself. Of course, it's only you're not to eat them or handle them if they're dead. That's the idea here. So if you want to play with centipedes, have fun. It says, you shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you be defiled thereby. For I am Yahuwah, your God. I am Yahuwah, your God. And you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, how many people would argue with me and say that our God, Yahuwah, is not holy? He says, sanctify yourselves. Do you want to sanctify yourself? You know, this is something that we do voluntarily now. We aren't saved because we keep the law. We aren't saved because we are good. We are good because we are saved. We keep the law because we are saved. Salvation by faith comes first. By faith we desire. By faith we choose obedience. We desire to do the things which please our Heavenly Father because we love Him. So by faith we choose obedience, looking forward to the redemption of our souls. We sanctify ourselves. We set ourselves apart. And how do we sanctify ourselves? We do it according to the law. We do it according to His word, His revealed will for our lives. That's how we sanctify ourselves. We don't do it according to our belief and our knowledge and what we think is right, because that would be our law. That would be our righteousness. The scripture says that our law and our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we aspire to His law. We aspire to His righteousness. He is our God. Yahuwah is our God. He writes His law in our minds and upon our hearts. And He is our God and we are His people. And He says in Leviticus 11:44, for I am Yahuwah, your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner, and here in context of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, but this applies to His whole law, that He is holy, so we should be holy. He is sanctified, so we should be sanctified. We should not defile ourselves, because we desire to be sanctified. We desire to be holy according to His law and according to His will. He says, for I, Yahuwah, that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, that you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of beasts and of fowl, and every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may be not eaten. And so he just gives us the description of what we just read in Leviticus chapter 11. So if you want to know what the dietary law is, you go to Leviticus chapter 11 and you'll find there the law of the beasts, the fowl, of every living thing, of every creature that moves in the waters, every creature that creeps upon the earth, to know what is clean and what is unclean, so that you know what may and may not be eaten. Chapter 12 in Leviticus. And the Lord, Yahuwah, spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, Then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation for her infirmity, she shall be unclean. And in the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification be fulfilled. And we'll discuss this when we get back from the break here. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Go over there, find the email link, and send me an email.